and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Christopher Cruz. It's an agonizing, heartbreaking weekend for the parents of 23 girls missing from a sleepaway summer camp near San Antonio after flash flooding. At least 24 bodies were recovered yesterday. CBS's Jason Allen says rescuers aren't giving up.
This is still being called an active rescue mission. There have been helicopter teams and boat teams going up the Guadalupe River. They're having to sort through, work around these huge piles of debris, and they have even been scanning the treetops, looking for people who may still be waiting to be rescued.
The river rose 26 feet in 45 minutes. More rain is in the forecast today, with the potential for pockets of heavy downpours. Tropical storm Chantal has formed off the coast of the Carolinas. Stand by for more tariff-related uncertainty. A preview from CBS's Willie James Inman at the White House.
The president says he could send up to 12 letters to different nations on Monday, notifying them of the new tariff rate on their goods. The White House faces a self-imposed deadline of Wednesday to negotiate dozens of trade deals.
We learned yesterday that Hamas has responded to the latest truce proposal for Gaza in a, quote, positive spirit. But as CBS's Deborah Pata reports today from Jerusalem, that doesn't mean it's a done deal.
Challenges remain. Hamas has said they want aid to be delivered by the United Nations and its partners exclusively, and for the controversial GHF to be shut down. And guarantees from the U.S. that negotiations for an end to the war would begin immediately, while Netanyahu has ruled out ending the war until all the hostages are freed and the military and governing capability of Hamas has been destroyed.
Two people were shot and killed early this morning in downtown Indianapolis. Six others were injured and are in the hospital. A disgusted police chief, Chris Bailey.
This kind of violence, whether downtown or any of our neighborhoods, is completely unacceptable and unnecessary. And parents and guardians have got to step up.
One of the dead was a minor. Before the shooting, police made at least 20 arrests and found weapons on two juveniles. If you're eating poorly while you're pregnant, your child could pay for it with their health. Details from CBS News correspondent Michael George.
A study published by the British Medical Journal looked at expectant mothers who ate inflammatory foods like red and processed meat, sugary drinks, and deep-fried foods, and found that a diet heavy in these foods can raise the risk of a child developing type 1 diabetes by as much as 16%.
This is CBS News.
Make your first lawn move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools, hedge trimmers, mowers, string trimmers, and more. Shop in-store or online at steeldealers.com.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Showers and thunderstorms today, some with pockets of heavy rainfall, highs in the mid-80s. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms, again, some with heavy rain, a low around 62. Clearing out, sunny for Sunday with a high near 79. Monday, mostly sunny, 79.
Right now, it's 82.
Good morning, Wisconsin.
Good morning, world.
It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Havhager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We appreciate the company. Seth and I are going to get into some entertainment news in a little bit. We got what is the best movie or your favorite movie to watch for the 4th of July, your favorite 4th of July theme movie.
All right.
All of that coming up for you. But it's a Thursday at the 10 o'clock hour. We know what that means. Time time for the pet of the week from our friends over at the South Oconee Humane Society. I want to say a big shout out to Milltown Coffee. We appreciate our friends over at Milltown.
Yep.
Got to get over there, get some coffee, everybody, and support local. We appreciate the good people over there. And we welcome in Denise from the South Oconee Humane Society. Denise, thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Always good to see you and have you here with us. And it's always extra nice when you bring a furry friend in with you. Who do we have with us today?
This is Cinder. Mm-hmm. He's one of our newer arrivals. Been with us about a month. He is a long-haired black male. He's a good-sized cat, but he's very chill and sweet.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very, very calm.
Yeah.
Very calm to him, but also just very curious eyes, very, engaging,
yes.
You know,
yep.
Sometimes when it's, when they're a little bit more relaxed or calm, they're not as, playful or some of those things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I see the age and that doesn't match up. He's got such a young spirit to him and everything,
yes.
And a beautiful coat.
It's not a jet black. It's kind of like a dusty black, but mm-hmm. It's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever used this word to describe a cat before, but gentlemen.
Yes.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
Very classy.
It's the long fur around mm-hmm. the chin. It looks like he's got like mutton chops beard or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. He should be carrying a cane with a top hat.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Cinder has been at the shelter for a little bit here and everything. Really looking for all those paws. He's got some nice big paws, too.
He does.
It's a sweet cat and a beautiful cat, too. I was just talking with Denise during the break and everything. I've never met a bad cat. They're cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about big cats.
Me
I don't
too.
Know. There's something
yeah.
about big ones.
Yeah,
just,
I love it, the bigger cats.
He's got a little bit to him, a little weight to him, and a little bit of, big fur, too. Just mm-hmm. a beautiful,
yes.
beautiful cat. Cinder. Find out more about Cinder. Domestic long hair waiting for you over at the South Oconee Humane Society. You can find out more at SWCHS.com. We'll get into more of that in a moment. Denise, how are things going at the shop?
They're great. The mascot is out of storage.
Yes.
He is on our by the dog side and ready to go for our Name the Dog contest. We're
all
not
right.
sure if we're
yes.
going to call it Name the Mascot, name mm-hmm. our roof mascot. We'll name it, but within a week we will have that out to the public. Either just watch our Facebook page and our website and we'll get it moving.
Nice. We'll be doing that and we'll be promoting it too.
Thank you. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
You know. We just got to find the platform we're going to do the voting on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That can be tough.
Yes.
It's not as easy as it used to be with that stuff.
Right.
Everything has changed with those. But let us know how it goes. Reach out. Let us know so we can let the audience know. And
yep.
we look forward to getting in on that one.
Thank you.
I'll be voting. I'll definitely be voting on that.
It's good to have him out. It really is.
Yes.
He's a staple at the Humane Society.
Nice.
Yeah, it really is. And with that, getting back to kind of things getting as normal as they probably get over there.
Yes.
That's nice to see and stuff. We appreciate all the workers, the construction and all that that's being done, but that is pretty much wrapped up.
Yep. We're very close to being completely done. We just have a little floor redo, but other than that, we are organized every day and we're putting the new space to good use.
Excellent.
Really good to hear.
Thank you.
Certainly for you and the staff. I know the opening's different now and stuff, and I'm really excited to see how that looks.
Yeah.
But these animals, they deserve it too, and it's really nice to hear for them.
Yeah, lots of extra space for them, extra storage, space for enrichment, which the animals all need when they're stuffed in a kennel, you know, but our staff does such a good job of taking them out and getting them playtime, and it's awesome.
Is there anything we can help with in particular, Denise? Is there any needs that you guys have over there in particular?
Still need cat litter. We still need sensitive skin food for both cats and dogs. We seem to have quite a few residents in-house right now that need the sensitive skin, sensitive stomach food. So
keep that
coming.
Yeah, that can be one that it's not always easy to find, too.
Right.
When you're in a shelter and such. It doesn't always, they don't have that sitting around always.
Yeah.
So that's a great one to help out with. And as you mentioned, cat litter and those things are always important ones, too.
Yep. Thank you.
Any events coming up or anything you wanted to make sure we touched on?
We're going to Lunch by the River, but our next event is in September, that 5K9 walk.
Mm-hmm.
I know Rock the Shelter is coming up, too. I don't even have a date for that, but the K9 walk is in September.
And
Saturday.
And Lunch by the River was what I was thinking of. I'm really glad to hear you guys a part of those. And,
and
keeping in mind, too, that we don't always get a chance to promote all these things, but the Humane Society is usually involved. You'll see them at a lot of different places with an animal sometimes.
Yeah, we try to get them out there because that's the best way to get them seen by the public.
And that brings me to your social media.
Yes.
And when you guys share things on your posts and your page, I say this all the time when I'm wrapping up, share it on your page. You never know who might see it otherwise. Yeah. But it may not be more evident than with our nonprofits, and especially when it comes to the Humane Society, and seeing these animals and how difference that can make for somebody of maybe being on the fence, and then they see the animal and they, oh wait a minute, that's the one. That's the one. That's I wanna take that one home. I want that one to you know, and that can be a big difference maker. So when you can share these things on your social media, it goes so much farther than we can really put into words.
It does help. It's amazing technology. What you can do and what people can accomplish on social media alone is just fantastic.
We have a very animal loving, friendly community, not just here, but all of our neighboring communities too. So you got a lot of people out there that are always looking to help out, maybe volunteer, walk dogs, some of those things. How is that looking this summer?
It's excellent. We have a lot of amazing volunteers. If we're going to be changing our volunteer program a little bit, doing some more in-house training and orientation so they all know what they're in for when they walk in the building, because we don't want anybody to get hurt. We want the animals safe and all the humans that are caring for them to be safe as well. But if you're interested in volunteering, check out the website.
Please do, everybody. I had to get a.
You had to get a picture there.
Yeah,
it's pretty. Yeah,
we may have a station cat. We may have just leaning into it, just really enjoying the area here.
I don't know if you're ready to take care of it, James.
I am. I can do it. No, I can do it. I practically live here anyway. I mean, it would be fine. There is a lot of great things happening with our Humane Society. We love you to be involved with it. Encourage you to reach out to the Humane Society and find out more. Certainly about Cinder over here. Take a look at them and you'll see what we're talking about. But there's so many great animals, and your new best friend is just waiting for you over at the Southwood County Humane Society. And even if you're not looking to adopt an animal, there are plenty of ways you can impact things over there by donating or dropping things off, sharing their posts on your pages and other things. Denise, can't thank you enough for the time.
Thank you for allowing us to be here every week.
Yeah, and Cinder.
Another party heard from.
Yeah, Cinder right there looking to take over my job now. All right, now wait a minute, Cinder. I need this gig, all right? But we encourage you to reach out to the Humane Society with any other questions you might have. You can do that by emailing them, office@swchs.com. Give them a call, 715-423-0505. You can also reach them on Facebook, direct message them that way, or go to their website, swchs.com. And of course, stop by 3621 64th Street North, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Be on the lookout on that Facebook page for their name and their mascots and all of that. We're looking forward to it and looking forward to next Thursday, Denise. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you. You guys have a great 4th of July.
You too. You too. Happy 4th to you and the staff and all the animals over there. Yes. That does. So I wasn't going to lean too much into this because we've talked about it a lot and everything, but as long as I got you, I do want to touch on that one last time, that keeping in mind the not only all the animals in our area and keeping, you know, with the fireworks and some of those things, but especially if I would say you live near the Humane Society or something like that, really keeping that in mind. To me, celebrating the 4th of July is not a personal thing. It's a group thing. It's a country thing. And I think one of the best things you can do is look out for all your friends and neighbors and animals and all of that.
Amen. I agree 100%. And we see a 30 to 60% increase in strays over the 4th of July weekend.
Wow.
The day before, the couple days after, just because they're terrified of the fireworks. And it's tough on animals.
That's a big number. Let's try to get that number down this year and look out for each other.
Yep.
And thank you, Denise. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
We will always send a big shout out to Milltown Coffee. Everybody get on over there, get some great coffee in you, and wish them a good day from all of us, and a big appreciation to Milltown Coffee sponsoring the Pet of the Week. We'll have another one for you next Thursday right here at WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had some, I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Tell me something good.
Ooh, good morning and welcome
I thought
to
I had
the
that
Kitchen
on.
Sorry Soap on WFHR. Now that I know that you can hear me.
Yeah. Yes.
Welcome to the Kitchen Soap on WFHR. With all the rain, nature is bursting with color. The grass is getting greener, flowers are blooming, and our food is vibrant.
Somehow, I don't think that's all from the rain.
You're not wrong. For generations, much of the food that we consume has been altered to make it look more appealing. Food dyes were introduced because we tend to eat with our eyes first.
It actually goes back thousands of years. Ancient Egyptians were known for using additives to color their hair and for cosmetics.
Not only that, according to the Food and Drug Administration website, naturally occurring color additives from vegetables and mineral sources were used to color foods, drugs, and cosmetics in ancient times. Paprika, turmeric, saffron, iron and lead oxides, and copper sulfate are some examples. Wine was artificially colored beginning in at least 300 BC.
Wow. What we use for coloring and what colorings are added to a product makes a huge difference.
That's right. It's fascinating to look into the history of how food dyes have changed throughout the years, just in our country. The FDA's website shares in 1856, William Henry Perkin discovered the first synthetic organic dye called mauve. Discoveries of similar dyes soon followed, and they quickly became used to color foods, drugs, and cosmetics. Because these dyes were first produced from byproducts of coal processing, they were known as coal tar colors. Mm. Federal oversight of color additives began in the 1880s. The assessment of color imparting ingredients in foods was among the first public initiatives undertaken by the U.S. when in 1881, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Bureau of Chemistry began to research on the use of colors in food. Butter and cheese were the first foods for which the federal government authorized the use of artificial coloring. Mm-hmm. So when you buy butter, it's actually more yellow in the store than if you were to get it fresh from the store.
Right. That's correct. Right. Yep. Yeah.
By 1900, many foods, drugs, and cosmetics available in the U.S. were artificially colored. However, not all of the coloring agents were harmless, and some were being used to hide inferior or defective foods.
Mm.
A careful assessment of the chemicals used for coloring foods at the time found many blatantly poisonous materials, such as lead, arsenic, and mercury being added.
Yikes.
In many cases, the toxicities of the starting materials for synthesizing color agents were well known and could be toxins, irritants, sensitizers, or carcinogens. In 1906, Congress passed the first Food and Drug Act, which prohibited the use of poisonous or deleterious colors in confectionery and the coloring or staining of food to conceal damage or inferiority. In the 1920s and 30s, it became clear that the Food and Drug Act of 1906 did not go far enough to protect the public health from misbranded, adulterated, and even toxic products, including an eyelash dye that blinded some women.
Jeez.
The Food and Drug and Cosmetic Act of 1938 further increased government oversight of food and drugs and, for the first time, passed legislation for the regulation of cosmetics and medical devices.
It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
It has. Wow, that's really remarkable.
I think sometimes we forget we're in a time and age where as people, sometimes we're able to, you know, kind of figure these things out or, hey, this product is hurting people or this product isn't safe or whatever. And even after it's been okayed. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of things like darts and some of the games and some cosmetic things that we heard when we were all in school and stuff like that. But it doesn't happen nearly as much as it did back in the day before we had these organizations, before we had these government bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... I think it's a nice reminder every once in a while that why we have these government bodies.
Right.
It's
why we have these laws, you know. They were created for a reason.
How many people out there knew there was a Bureau of Chemistry?
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know,
yeah. And it's been around forever. Yeah.
Right. Yes.
This is the 1800s.
For 100 years, yeah. So, and what I found fascinating is who had the bright idea to say, oh, this byproduct of coal is something we should eat and put in our food because it makes it more colorful.
I think the same thing in the recent trend of charcoal toothpaste and some of that. When that first started, I'm like, get out of here. What? Right. What are you talking about?
Well, at least that you spit back out.
Yeah. Right,
or
right.
you just put on your face and you wash off.
Right.
You don't ingest it.
Right.
And that's where the issue came. Like, if you go back to the ancient times, they were using natural herbs and spices to add coloring,
right.
not artificial things that might not be good for our body.
Or even natural things that weren't good for our body.
Right.
Because there's a lot of those, too.
Well, this is true.
And notice that the difference of those things, profit.
Yes,
how
absolutely.
Much that changed all of this.
What can save me money, right? Yeah.
Well, and it didn't stop back in the 1930s. The FDA's website goes on to share in the fall of 1950, many children became ill from eating an orange Halloween candy containing 1 to 2% FD&C orange number 1, a color additive approved for use in food. That same year, U.S. House Representative James DeLancey began holding hearings on the possible carcinogenicity, say that word five times fast,
right, yeah.
of pesticide residues and food additives. These events prompted FDA to reevaluate all of the listed color additives. In the next few years, FDA found that several caused serious adverse effects and proceeded to terminate their listings. During that time, it also became clear that coal was no longer the primary raw material source for the manufacturers of color additives.
I almost guarantee that orange candy was candy corn.
Yeah.
I'll bet you anything it was candy corn.
And I will guarantee if I was alive at the time, I would have been one of those kids that got sick. I would have eaten that candy.
Yeah, me too. And the fact that they now have moved even away from coal, which is a natural substance, into something even more synthetic is not a good thing.
Right.
So the color additive amendments of 1960 defined the words color additive and required that only color additives except Cartol hair dyes be listed as suitable and safe for a given use, could be used in foods, drugs, cosmetics, and medical devices. The 1960 amendments prescribe the factors that FDA must consider in determining whether a proposed use of a color additive is safe, as well as the specific conditions for safe use that must be included in listing regulations. The 1960 amendments also contained a quote-unquote DeLancey clause that prohibited the listing of color additives shown to be carcinogen. The clause states that, quote, a color additive can be deemed unsafe if the additive is found to induce cancer when ingested by man or animal, or after a few relevant exposures of man or animal to such additive. After 1960, FDA gradually removed color additives from the provisional list, either by permanently listing or by terminating them from the list. Today, about half of the 1960 color additives remain listed. Only color additive lakes remain provisionally listed, and initiatives are underway to permanently list them.
Okay. Wow.
Hopefully they get those going soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's just staggering to kind of think about sometimes.
Yes.
It is. And
how long it's taken, yeah.
The fact that Cartol is no longer the primary source, and now all of these others are, the steps are being made. So more and more additives are coming out, which is great. And there are natural ways to color foods.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that difference between breakfast cereals in the U.S. as to how they're done in the U.K. or in Europe.
Or in Europe, yeah.
And so the emphasis and activists are really trying to really make that a regulatory. Let's make our regulations as stiff as they are in Europe.
Well, and this is, and forgive me, but this is another reminder of why we don't run politics and we don't run our country like a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what happens when
point.
You run business
right.
like a business.
Right.
They care about is profit, and they don't care about people,
right.
and they don't mind hurting people. You know,
right.
can't do it.
Yeah, and it's daunting to think about how these artificial food dyes are affecting us and what they're doing to our food and to our health. But there is a bit of hope on the horizon. On April 22nd this year, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and FDA announced a series of new measures to phase out petroleum-based synthetic dyes from the nation's food supply. In line with this priority, on May 9th, FDA announced it was granting three new color additive petitions that will expand the palette of available colors from natural sources for manufacturers to safely use in food. So some of the major brands are taking notice and making efforts to make this happen. According to an article on CNN.com, food giant Kraft Heinz will remove all artificial colors from its brands as synthetic food dyes face renewed scrutiny from consumers and Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The maker of Kraft Mac and Cheese, Heinz Ketchup, Jell-O, Capri Sun, and other brands announced on June 17th that it will remove synthetic food colorings from all of its foods sold in the United States by the end of 2027.
Wow.
The company also said it will not release any new U.S. foods with artificial food dyes. General Mills, the maker of cereals such as Cheerios Trix and Cinnamon Toast Crunch, as well as other brands like Nature Valley, Pillsbury, and Yoplait, soon followed suit. It announced later that same day that it planned to remove certified colors from all of its U.S. cereals and K-12 school foods by summer 2026. And out of all of its products by 2027. The Minneapolis-based company said in a statement that 85% of its retail products are already made without those artificial colors.
I remember General Mills doing that several years ago. They had announced that they were taking all the artificial dyes out of all of their breakfast cereals and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they've been actually doing it for a while.
Well, and I remember, too, because of the huge outcry from children when they all united and said, oh, wait a minute, no, that's right.
No, they didn't do that.
Nobody noticed. Nobody noticed.
No one really cared, yeah. Oh, wow, our cereal looks basically the same, right? Yeah.
Well, and it started for Kraft with the mac and cheese because they were using food dyes here, but they weren't over in Europe.
Right.
And there are some health effects. Now, no study has been exactly conclusive or done specifically on food dyes, but some of the artificial dyes have been linked to a number of possible health concerns, including allergies, cancer, inflammation of the colon and colorectal health problems, DNA damage, and behavioral changes.
Right.
I mean, DNA damage.
I mean, isn't that scary?
Yeah. Well, and they have been able to link that it doesn't necessarily cause ADHD, but food coloring, specific red dye colorings, can make kids with ADHD even more hyperactive. Yep. So it becomes harder, and it doesn't necessarily take effect right away. It can take 1 to 2 days before it affects. So if you give somebody, an ADHD child, candy with a red dye in it, I think it's red dye number 5, today, Wednesday, they could still be feeling the effects of that.
Right, right. Yeah.
And we don't think about the fact that it stays in our bodies and in our systems that long.
Right. Well, I mean, in the end, the bottom line is that it makes more sense just to use the more natural food coloring because there's really no need, maybe other than cost cutting, to do the synthetic ones anymore. I think there's enough out there that we've got that it's like it's more smart, you know, just it makes us a little bit smarter on how we do these kinds of things, and it just makes sense to me.
It is the asbestos of the food world.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, it was at a time it had its place.
We don't need it anymore. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And there are so many good, natural, healthy sources out there that you can use to make foods more appealing.
Right.
And you can hear our enthusiasm about going in that direction to keep us as healthy as possible. And we would like to have our enthusiasm to promote your business as a sponsor of The Kitchen's Open. And never has that been or ever will be synthetic.
Yeah. It's all natural.
Yeah, darn
right. As a sponsor, we will highlight your business during the segment and in our newsletter. We could also share an interview with you or broadcast live from your business.
For more information about these opportunities, just give us a call at 715-424-1300 and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out all the details.
That number again, line.
It's right in front of you.
Thank you.
Oh, there we go.
715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was interesting. I learned a lot on that one.
Yeah,
wow.
Me too. Yeah.
Very cool.
It's a really good one. Appreciate that, Beth.
Yeah.
We are going to make Beth stick around a little bit longer.
A little more
She's
going to
hang out with us for our next segment. When we come back, we're talking about phrases that we like, 20 old school sayings we still love and what they actually mean. We'll be coming back with that on The Morning Show at WFA. HR.
Tell me something good.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
27 people are now confirmed dead in flash flooding near San Antonio, and 20 girls are missing from a summer camp. Here's KEYE-TV reporter Andrew Freeman.
Governor Greg Abbott has said this is going to be a 24/7 operation, and no stone is going to be left unturned until everyone is either recovered or reunited with their loved ones.
The U.S. is considering giving powerful weapons to a beleaguered ally, says CBS's Willie James Inman.
The president told reporters that he's considering sending the Patriot air defense missiles to Ukraine. That is something that they have been asking for.
Hamas says it's responded to a truce proposal for Gaza in a, quote, positive spirit. CBS's Deborah Patta is in Jerusalem.
For Palestinians in Gaza, a glimmer of hope with a renewed momentum for a ceasefire. Since the last truce collapsed in March, 6,000 more people have died and an acute humanitarian crisis has worsened.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Brewers and the Marlins today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game two of the Brewers and Marlins in Florida this afternoon. The crew winning last night 6-5, thanks to Jackson Churio driving in Christian Yelich to score. Joey Ortiz with a two-run single to take the lead. Aaron Ashby out of the bullpen got the win, retiring all seven batters he faced. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Ashby was tremendous. The fact that he can face both lefties and righties. He gets himself beat when he doesn't field his position or doesn't hold runners or things like that. But he's... You know, he's got, we've seen it. When he's in the pen like this, his stuff is, you know, you saw it, 97, 99, and it just makes everything better. He's got the ability, and I think that's the best role for him right now in his career.
NBA, who will the Bucks replace Damian Lillard at the point guard position? ESPN reporting today, the Bucks have been in talks with Chris Paul. He's now 40 and a free agent after 1 year with the Spurs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Showers and thunderstorms today, some with pockets of heavy rainfall. Highs in the mid-80s. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms, again, some with heavy rain. A low around 62. Clearing out, sunny for Sunday with a high near 79. Monday, mostly sunny, 79. Right now, it's 84.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Got James behind the mic, joined by Melissa.
Melissa.
Hello!
Seth.
Good morning.
Beth.
Hey.
And all of you. Thanks for being here, everybody. We appreciate you.
I'm here too.
Ah, there she is. There she is. We can't do this without Mel. We got to have Mel. We appreciate you being here, everybody. Beth sent this article over from goodhousekeeping.com that I thought was too good. We had to bring her a sticker. You know, got to do a little overtime here, Beth. 20 old school sayings we still love and what they actually mean. This is comes to us again from goodhousekeeping.com. You can find the complete article over there. And we'll just kind of go through these here. But what we've done these for a while now on the morning show, kind of finding out the history of idioms and some of those.
Yep.
I don't know that we've really just kind of taken them like through a run here of them.
And, no, we kind of hit and miss kind of stuff. Yeah.
And looking at this, I think this may be the most complete list of these phrases. Where it's all of them together. And I was pressing my brain so hard to try to think, were there any that didn't include, Beth? And they got them all. So that's kind of interesting to me too. The part that I thought was the most, I don't know if it's the most interesting, the part that I just I enjoy, I just want to wrap my hands around and hug so much about this, is how we keep some of these phrases going.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And phrases that my grandparents used, that my kids are using today and stuff. And I thought that part was kind of cool, that we kind of, for everything, I mean, how much music that my grandparents listen to, are we still listening to?
Right. Mm-hmm.
How many movies or shows or anything are still popular?
Right.
But yet these phrases, we're still saying the bee's knees. We're still saying that.
I'm trying so hard to bring that back.
I know you are.
First one on the list, the bee's knees. This quirky compliment describes something truly excellent or delightful, the best of the best. Whether or not bees actually even have knees is irrelevant. The phrase became popular in the 1920s to describe someone or something uniquely wonderful, stylish, or cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yep. Like my husband has the bee's knees.
Nice. Now, I do not want bee's knees. Those do not sound very sturdy because they fly and they don't need them. So.
And I will try to, I'm going to try to like dip out of this conversation a bit because I want Melissa's takes, especially to counter what Beth just did. We need that. Don't take any wooden nickels.
Okay.
I've never heard this one.
Really?
You've never heard it?
Oh, wow.
No. Oh, my.
This old saying is a friendly warning to stay sharp and avoid getting duped.
Yes. Caveat emptor, basically. Yeah.
Wooden nickels were sometimes handed out as tokens or gimmicks, not real money.
Huh. Kind of like...
when?
Like rewards things now on, like, you know, wherever you go. Yes, you can only spend this here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number three, mad as a hatter. Maybe my favorite one.
Yes.
Someone who is mad as a hatter is completely bonkers, eccentric, or unpredictable. The phrase dates back to the hat makers of the 18th and 19th centuries who were exposed to mercury in the felt-making process.
Yes, made them a little crazy.
This did actually make them crazy.
One of my favorite stories in history, that at the turn of the century and the derby hats or whatever become very popular in London, and everybody's got to have one. Rich, poor, doesn't matter, because they're affordable. And the big thing about these that sells a bit of any hat in history up until this point, well, they can fit every head. We can put it to Seth's head. We can fit it to your head, Beth. All we got to do, just need to put this on your head for a little bit. That little feeling, that's just the mercury. Don't mind that. That's just the mercury we put around the brim so it could fit your head perfectly. Nothing to worry about here. It'll be perfectly fine. And like a week later, it didn't even take that long. And like people were showing up like, hey, I'm not feeling good.
Yeah, something's wrong here.
But it took them a while to figure this out. And thus the phrase, mad as a hatter.
Right.
Is born.
Wow.
Which leads me to ask, did the phrase come before the character in the Alice in Wonderland?
Yes,
or I think it did.
Alice in Wonderland
yes.
Way before. That. Okay, yeah. So yeah, that yeah, makes sense before. That's why we have the Mad Hatter in
and
Alice
wearing
in
a top hat. Yes.
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 Mm-hmm. Number four, spill the beans.
Mm-hmm.
When someone spills the beans, they let a secret slip. The phrase likely comes from an ancient voting practice involving beans and ballots.
I have heard about that. Yes.
That's the counting beans.
Yes. Yep.
If someone tipped the jar, the results were revealed.
There you go. Ooh, that's kind of cool. So don't spill the beans unless you're voting with them. That's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
But now it's all about the juicy details. Tell me the secret.
Yeah, that's right.
Give me all the info.
Spill the beans.
Mm-hmm. I want the 411.
A stitch in time saves nine.
Yes. Okay. I've heard that one often.
This practical proverb encourages early action. The idea is that fixing a small tear now saves from having to fix a bigger one later.
Mm-hmm. Which is true in your clothing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's a timeless reminder that a little effort today can go a whole long way.
I wanted to ask Melissa, because she does, you know, do some, you know, that kind of kind of work. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Does it specifically save nine stitches? No, I'm just kidding.
Depends on how big the tear is.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. But I like the idea of just doing nine no matter how big the tear is.
No.
Really big stitches.
Yeah. For you, a stitch in time would save 100.
Yeah.
No, it'll save you nine times the amount of time it would take to fix the problem.
There you go.
There you
Makes
go.
Makes sense. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very confident about this one. The worst phrase that we've probably ever come up with as human beings. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes.
This vivid metaphor warns against accidentally discarding something valuable while trying to get rid of something unwanted. It's a reminder to think things carefully. I just don't know where this came from.
Yeah, it sounds just so...
Okay, so my understanding, and Melissa, maybe you know more about this than I do, but the family, if you had a large family, back then they had large families. Mm-hmm. Everybody used the same bathtub at the same time.
Yep.
So you only filled it up once. So it got very dark with the last one, which would be the baby. So when you threw out the bathwater, you needed to make sure the baby wasn't still in that bathwater.
Gotcha, okay.
Wow.
Or anything else.
Right. For that matter, right, yeah.
Because hopefully your baby isn't under the water.
Exactly. Yeah, oh, that would be my concern. Couldn't you see the baby above the water?
But... Speaking of dark, woo, yeah.
Wow, I never heard that.
Yeah.
You know, I would say our modern day equivalent to that is... Don't forget the baby in the back seat.
Yeah.
Check That's true.
Seat.
Fair.
The back seat. Check the back seat.
Oh, it's still in his head. Wow.
Oh, I just put it there. Just, sorry.
Yeah. Really appreciate it. Oh, I appreciate it. I love that one, actually. I like that commercial. Mind your P's and Q's.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
A reminder to mind your manners. This phrase originates, our origins are debated. It could reference lowercase letters or tavern shorthand for pints and quarts.
And quarts.
Okay.
Heard that before.
Oh, that's really? Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Don't spill the beer.
Yeah. Don't give someone a quart when they should only get a pint.
Or a pint when they should get a quart.
Yeah, that's
really
true. Then you lose some money. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you all off air what James thought that meant.
Oh, dear.
And number eight, moving on. Over the moon. When someone says they're over the moon, they're absolutely thrilled, bursting with happiness.
Okay.
I love that phrase.
Does that come from the nursery rhyme?
It does.
From,
the cow jumped over the moon. The cow jumped over the moon, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My daughters and I always say, I love you to the moon and back. That's Riding shotgun. Now synonymous with sitting in the front passenger seat, the phrase actually traces back to stagecoach days when someone rode next to the driver with a shotgun.
With literally a shotgun. Yeah.
To protect them from the highway.
Yep. Bandits. I've known that. I feel like I've known that my whole life. Is that a common one? Is that
Most people
know that one?
Yeah. My kids are just both shotgun. Now age enough, old enough to be able to use the front seat, and they are already calling shotgun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, put a sock in it. A slightly sassy way to stay be quiet.
Be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
This saying may have originated from using socks to muffle the sound of early gramophones.
Oh, or trumpets,
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just thought that is such a fun phrase to say. Put a sock in it.
Yes. So is hit the hay. That's a fun one to say.
Still use that one. Yeah. Boy, that's very common,
That, of course, ready to go to bed. The phrase comes from when mattresses were often stacked with hay.
Filled with straw, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one makes sense.
Or grass.
Yeah. Yep.
Paint the town red.
Oh.
This lively expression means going out for a wild night. The phrase may have originated from an 1830s escapade in England where a rowdy group literally painted things red during a drunken spree.
Wow.
Well, you know, anytime it involves drinking, it's got to involve drinking when you paint the town red. But alcohol will be there.
If this is true, this is where this originates from. How much red did they?
That's a lot of paint.
This is from the 1830s, like in London,
and
spread
they
that far.
They didn't probably paint whole things red. They maybe just made their mark.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's true. I love the idea of them trying to get every building.
Bloop.
They certainly did make their mark. It's amazing.
We still use. Yeah.
From one incident, I would have thought this was like something that teenagers were doing in the 1830s. And it was like a trend with teenagers or something. Like they're just literally painting things red.
But I love how we've connected it with the celebration of it and not the vandalism.
Not vandalism,
like a broken record.
Well, we all know this one,
When someone keeps repeating themselves, of course, the phrase comes from vinyl records that skip and loop.
That's right.
How about the pot calling the kettle black?
I like that one.
Use that a lot.
Someone criticizes another person, it's the pot calling the kettle black. The phrase points out hypocrisy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a timeless check on one's self-awareness.
Yep.
I love this one. Burning the midnight oil. Or every day in the day, a day in the life of James. If you're up working late, of course, or studying or something like that, before electricity, oil lamps lit the way for those pulling late night shifts. Mm-hmm. The phrase still captures that sense of quiet dedication and long late hours.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely.
The whole nine yards. This saying means going all in, giving everything you got. Its origin is unclear, though some trace it to World War II ammunition belts or fabric measurements, whether it's origin, whether it's that or not. But I think most modern people would think, oh, football. That's
9 yards.
Associated with
football. I've heard is that which is not true because it's not that there's 9 yards of fabric in a kilt, you know, in the whole outfit. Kind of thing, which I don't think is true. It doesn't have that much, but
I don't know. Kilts have a lot of fabric in them.
That's true, but I don't know if it's 9 yards is a lot.
I'm going to check. Hold on. Okay. Keep going.
How about chew the fat? To chew the fat is to chat casually, often about nothing in particular. The phrase may have started as sailors talking while eating salted meat.
Oh, literally chewing the fat. Yeah, because salted meat was basically gristle.
Yeah.
And some of the less nice cuts of meat, let's say.
Close but no cigar. Originally heard at carnival games, this phrase means you almost won, but not quite. In the early 20th century, cigars were given as prizes, and missing the mark meant no reward. So you missed the cigar.
There you go.
By the way, kids also won cigars.
That's just scary.
Yeah, I've heard a variation on that. A close but no banana, which I think is kind of funny because banana is a funny word.
It is, and I'm going to do these in opposite order. Like let sleeping dogs lie. This classic bit of advice means it's best not to stir things up. The image is clear. Don't wake a peaceful sleeping dog.
No,
that's right.
They might be upset about that. Yeah,
do you think?
And wrapping things, the dog just goes right back to sleep.
Mostly,
let's not act like the dog. Like we just messed up the dog's sleeping.
Now,
pattern.
If it's a wolf, I would not want to wake him.
And finally, cut a rug.
Yes.
I love this phrase. I love it. I just don't use it very often. More charming than just saying go dancing, this phrase conjures visions of swinging, twirling, and jitterbugging. It's no rhyme or reason where it came from.
Though. Oh, wow. It's lost
early
to the
carpets were delicate, and when you would dance on them,
you could create a
hole.
Oh, okay. Oh, that would make
sense. I just made that up.
I was going to say.
That's good, though. As good as anybody's.
Balderdash.
I love that, though. I almost don't want to know the real, if that's not where it comes from or not, because I kind of like that.
It didn't have one of my all-time favorites because people don't use it anymore, but enough room to swing a dead cat.
Oh, yeah.
I love using that phrase because people are like, what?
Yeah. Going back to cut a rug, I wonder if it's because many dance floors were wooden. Not on carpets. So if you cut a rug, you're cutting away from the rug, the carpet, onto the wooden floor.
Yep.
One article I'm seeing says it's linked to the popular dance of the 1920s and 30s called the jitterbug. The vigorous movements of the jitterbug, particularly when performed by many people on a dance floor, could cause the rug to appear worn or even cut.
Right.
There you go. You weren't far off there, Melissa.
It sounded reasonable. Yeah.
And then I do have the answer to the whole nine yards.
Okay.
And it's what I assumed. The looms were not very wide originally. They were only about 30 inches wide. So, yes, historically, it did take 9 yards of cloth to make a great kilt because they had to make 9 yards to sew the two halves together to get it wide enough to make the 4.5 yards long that it takes to make a great.
Of course, Melissa would know the loom one.
Well, yeah, I got one sitting right
there. I know. That's
and it's 30 inches wide.
Yes.
And that was a great one, Beth. Thanks for bringing that.
Yeah,
that
was
a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. We will get to our news, sports, and partner break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
That say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back, everybody. 97.5 FM, WFHR on your radio dial. Or your streaming service. Or your civic media app.
That's right.
Something like, you used to just be on your dial, you know, just to be able to say that.
Yeah, put them all on there now.
Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. Hope your Monday is going smoothly. An annual study ranked the most patriotic states in America by looking at 13 different factors, like voting rates, how many veterans and active members of the military are there, jury duty participation, civic education, and how many people volunteer for things like Army Corps.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So not a
wide variety of things. Yeah.
Not a perfect list or anything like that. And I'm going to be honest. I don't want to start any fights here or anything. You got the 4th of July coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
And I thought this is a fun topic for that and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that every state has plenty of patriots in it.
Absolutely.
And plenty of people that care. And I think you're hard pressed to find anybody who isn't proud and happy to be in this country for various reasons, or it may be just some.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
This year, the 10 most patriotic states are Virginia, Montana, Vermont, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, North Dakota, Maryland, Minnesota, and New Hampshire.
Wow.
Interesting spread.
Yes, I like that.
Not a real pattern. Just
there is no pattern.
Map.
No,
no. There's a lot of like northwest states in there.
Mm-hmm, yep, Oregon, Washington, right?
Yeah,
and we got northeastern. We got Vermont in there, Virginia. That makes sense. You know. Kind of a famous
kind of
state,
a,
you know,
yeah.
for the early part of our country's history, right?
Virginia being right at number one did seem a little bit out of the nose.
Yeah, it does, a little bit. Yeah. So,
coming in last this year is Arkansas, followed by New York, Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, Texas, Indiana, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and West Virginia.
Okay. So Virginia is up there. West Virginia is not. That's funny.
That's kind of funny. And could you see a bigger swing than Arkansas to New York?
I mean, wow. Yeah, seriously.
At the 1 and 2 spots there, that's a pretty big swing right there.
It is, yeah.
They did not include Washington, D.C. in the count.
Right.
So keep that in mind. And overall, and I really distaste these terms, blue states and red states, I get so sick and tired of these terms and everything.
I'm with you on that.
Guess what, everybody? If you live in a red state, you got blue people.
You got lots of blue people.
And you got blue people. A blue state, you got plenty of red people in there.
Stop making that a category.
It's all it does is divide us.
Yeah.
All it does is divide us.
Yeah.
And I'm done with things that divide us. Overall, blue, quote unquote, blue states are more patriotic than red states, at least according to how they voted in last year's presidential election
blah, blah, blah.
And the two states that are dead center in the patriotism ranks are South Carolina and Wisconsin.
Really?
You will not find two more different states than South Carolina and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I have a good knowledge of both states. And it's like, no, those are very different. Very different.
And I do think that as far as just speaking, and I've spent a lot of time, I shouldn't say, I spent a couple months in the Carolinas.
Right, yeah.
But I will say that, I agree with you, Seth, on that. But also that it's not surprising to me to see Wisconsin ranked.
Right in the middle? Yeah.
Right in the middle.
Me too.
Right
me
in the
too,
middle.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's shocked there that Wisconsin, which is a very purple state and has been for a long time, you can go back multiple presidential elections and see that we are all oftentimes that beacon for that. And just as far as the exact numbers here, Wisconsin ranked 26th, right behind North Carolina and South Carolina.
Okay. Sandwiched by the Carolinas. Okay.
I don't think that's too surprising.
No,
really, when
it's
it comes
not.
Down to it.
I like it.
But it is also something I think that more and more, and please understand, I am not trying to speak for Wisconsinites here, but it does seem like more and more Wisconsinites are taking pride in that. Regardless of where you vote politically, you're taking pride in the fact that Wisconsin is a purple state.
The idea that it's become, and maybe for good and bad, like a bellwether of the country as a whole in a lot of ways. I don't know. Now, I'm not saying it should be or anything like that, but it seems to have become that way. Yeah.
During several of the last election cycles.
It has. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as goes Wisconsin, goes the rest of the country, right?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So.
Well, and, you know, there's something to be said, too, for being an example.
For good or bad.
Right.
Exactly. The whole gamut,
Well, and I talk to people in a lot of different states, and I don't think that there is, we're out of the norm here of being tired of the divisiveness. Mm-hmm. It's one of the first things, the last two presidential, not just presidential elections, last two elections, it's one of the overall things we've heard is people asking of their politicians, no matter who you're voting for, hey, we're tired of the finger pointing. Hey, we're tired of the whining. Mm-hmm. Like
tired of not getting anything accomplished.
Right.
There are certain politicians that the moment they open their mouths, all I hear is whining. All I hear is womp, 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 only in a whining sense. And I'm done. And we're not alone in that.
Yeah.
And that's just in this state, let alone in others.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of that to go around. I don't think that it's everything in life, whether we're talking about fashion, music, or politics, they go in ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are more and more getting into a time of, hey, wherever you're voting, that's fine. Or wherever your beliefs are, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Just don't be divisive. Don't be whiny. Don't try to separate me from my fellow Americans. Mm. All right? That's what sports
is for. Good way of putting it.
Yeah.
I like that take. Don't separate me from my fellow Americans. That's a really good line. And I think that's something people should think more about.
And this, I will say this doesn't come from me. This comes from being partially raised by military members.
Mm-hmm.
Where it wasn't, you think that in my grandparents, my grandfather's platoons, that they all agreed on everything, that they all voted for the same person, or they all, had the same favorite sports team or anything like that. No. But they fought together.
They sure did.
And they were
they
a unit.
Trusted each other with their lives.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That's how we should be approaching this. We can vote for different things. We can root for different sports teams and all of this, but we cannot not have each other. Back.
That's right.
Right.
We cannot
lose. Go ahead.
We cannot let anybody divide us.
Yeah, and lose the sight of we the people have the power.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's very important.
Mm-hmm. We will take a quick time.
I feel very patriotic now.
Yeah. Yes. Ooh. Did we move Wisconsin up then in the rankings?
We did.
Yeah, we did. Just from that conversation. Cool.
Just said, cool. Take that, North Carolina.
Yeah, we just moved that to the Carolinas. All right. Be back after this.
Summer gatherings happen around the grill, so make sure whatever you're grilling is delicious and healthy. Family Natural Foods prides themselves in providing quality, free-range, hormone-free chicken, beef, shrimp, Alaskan salmon, and for something special, buffalo. All great for the grill. Family Natural Foods carries the summer family essentials, all-natural bug spray and sunscreen, flea and tick for your four-legged friends, and electrolytes to keep you hydrated. Family Natural Foods, your home for making this summer great. Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The death toll from yesterday's flash flooding near San Antonio has risen. Here's Kerr County Sheriff Larry Latha.
So far, we've evacuated over 850 uninjured people, 8 injured people, and have recovered 27 deceased fatalities at this time. Of these 27, 18 are adults, 9 are children.
The count doesn't include the 20 girls who are missing from a sleepaway camp that flooded. Rain is in the forecast today with heavy downpours possible. Hamas is indicating it will accept a ceasefire deal in Gaza, but not without conditions. From Jerusalem, the BBC's Sebastian Usher has details on the changes the group is demanding.
The amendments that Hamas wants do seem very similar to what they've wanted previously, that's been seen as unacceptable by Israel, by the Israeli government, and to some extent by the US. That is essentially having a precondition that there should be a complete end to the war in Gaza from the start, that that has to be the goal, and that Israeli troops have to be withdrawn.
President Trump took a victory lap yesterday, signing the tax and spending cuts bill he'd been pressing Congress to approve. CBS's Willie James Inman has details on the president's signature legislative accomplishment.
The law delivers on several campaign promises, including an extension of the 2017 Trump tax cuts, no taxes on tips and overtime, and increased spending for defense and border security. To help pay for it, Republicans made cuts to social programs, including Medicaid and the SNAP program, commonly known as food stamps.
Some parts of Philadelphia don't smell too good. Almost 10,000 city employees are on strike, including trash collectors. An update from CBS's Michelle Miller.
The union, which represents workers from crossing guards to sanitation, is calling for fair living wages and health benefits for all. Mayor Sherelle Parker called the offer of a 13% pay hike over her 4-year term historic. Trash has piled up at drop-off sites across the city. On Thursday, a judge approved the city's request to order medical examiner's office employees to return to work as bodies pile up in storage.
We've learned that the Trump administration has deported a group of 8 men with serious criminal convictions to South Sudan. They'd been kept at an American Navy base in Djibouti for weeks. The